Another holiday was coming. Sam was dreading it. Every year, they had to go and visit his wife's family. Every year, he had a big fight with his mother-in-law. "Please," he begged his wife, "just let me stay home this year. Go without me. I can't get along with your mom. Nothing I do is right. Just let me stay home." "No way," came the answer. "We're going, just like always." Sam was in despair. What should he do? How could he avoid the annual battle? In desperation, he asked his priest for advice. The priest, drawing from the riches of the Catholic tradition, recommended the following. "Choose a saint," he told Sam. "Pick one who might have some understanding of a situation like yours. And then every day between now and when you depart for your visit to your wife's family, think about that saint for a little while and pray for help." Sam chose St. Francis because from what he could remember, Francis had spent some time around some pretty undesirable people. And so he figured St. Francis might be able to be sympathetic with his problem. And every day Sam prayed. It wasn't a fancy prayer. "Please help me with my mother-in-law," was what he said. And after several days, a thought came into Sam's head while he was praying. It was as though Francis was speaking directly to him. "I once hugged a person with leprosy," offered Francis. "If I could do that, surely you could hug your mother-in-law." The dreaded day arrived. When Sam got out of the car, he walked right up to his mother-in-law and embraced her. She was so surprised that she started to cry. "We were able to have an amazing day," Sam later told his priest. Well, the priest was so happy with this news, he told his friend Richard Moo, and Mr. Moo was so taken with how it all unfolded that he wrote a piece about how Sam had found his way along the thorny path of human relationships. And it was because of that piece of writing that I came to hear the story and to ponder the question, how did that priest know what to say to the church member who had such a sticky problem? What should I do? What might I say? How can I help? What shall be my course of action? These type of questions are not uncommon or unheard of for any of us. What should I do? What should I say? A Sunday school coordinator was trying to leave town on a long-planned trip. Before she could get out the door, the phone rang. "Please come to the hospital," said an urgent voice on the other end of the line. "A child in our community is about to have emergency surgery, and there is nobody with her. Her parents signed the paperwork to admit her to the hospital, and then they left." What to do? Myrtle didn't really want to cancel her plans, but neither could she just leave the child alone and untended. She picked up the phone and she began to call members of her congregation. "I'm looking for somebody who's willing to be a temporary grandparent to a scared and lonely little girl," she said. The word went out. Susan and Bill stepped forward. They went down to the hospital and waited there all night while the surgery was done. They sat at the child's bedside while she recovered. They brought a radio down to the hospital to help pass the time and entertain the little girl. They brought a new set of clothes for her to wear when it was time to go home. Finally, the parents turned up and reclaimed their child. Somehow, Bill had discovered that his new young friend did not have a bed at home, and so he had one delivered. Myrtle Felkner's phone calls proved to be exactly the right course of action, because not only did the little girl get the help that she needed, Bill and Susan found a new ministry. They became advocates and friends of children in tough situations, educating other adults in their community and working to help change conditions for children living in poverty. Myrtle was even able to take the trip she had planned. Everything came together quickly in a way that worked for the good of all. How had she known what to do? The right course of action, as we are well aware, is not always discovered in such short order. Imagine this scenario. A United Methodist Church begins to struggle with the fact that once a year, their Sunday morning worship routine is severely disrupted by a large marathon, which, in their case, starts literally in the street right outside their front door. Worshippers can't get to the building. They can't get in the building. Okay, say the people of Oklahoma City First United Methodist Church. Once a year, we're just going to have our worship service on Saturday night. We won't try to come to church on Sunday. And so that's what they do for a few years. But that doesn't feel right to them. For one thing, it turns out that not very many people are willing to attend worship on Saturday night. And for another thing, the staff and the members who do come down on Sunday morning on Marathon Sunday just to sort of see the action and be part of the festive energy, notice that a lot of the runners and a lot of the spectators, the race starts right outside their front door, which they've got their building all locked up because they're not having a worship service, but all these runners and these spectators are coming and trying the door of the church building, hoping that they could get in to use the bathroom or get a drink of water. The members of the church keep talking to each other. What to do? They keep reading their Bibles. They keep going to meetings. They keep praying. Finally, the answer hits them like a lightning bolt. The key is to focus on the word service in worship service. We need to be serving breakfast, announces Stan Crosby, leader of the congregation. And so the church makes a partnership with another organization in the community. Others provide the food supplies. The church provides the space and the volunteers to offer a hot breakfast, a place to relax and refresh, and a program of activities for children. The church has a big building. Hundreds of people come to enjoy a plate of pancakes and the other available amenities. What to do? What to say? The questions arise at work and at home. Choosing a response or a course of action, the challenge presents itself to bankers, teachers, store clerks, athletes, researchers, cooks, soldiers, and parents. A mother watched her 7-year-old touching the soft, folded skin of his great-grandmother's face. "Those are my wrinkles," explained the great-grandmother. "They mean I'm getting old." Later, the child had a question for his mother. "Do wrinkles hurt?" he wanted to know. What's the right answer to that question? The mom pulled a book off the shelf and she began to read aloud. It was the story of the Velveteen Rabbit, about a stuffed animal learning what it means to be real. "Real isn't how you're made," explains an old horse with experience. "It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long, long time, then you become real." "Does it hurt?" asks the more newly arrived rabbit. "Sometimes," replies the horse. "Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off, your eyes drop out, and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things do not matter at all, because once you are real, you can't be ugly, except to people who don't understand." Where does the wisdom come from to give an honest answer, to solve a troubling problem, to involve others in acts of compassion, to bring healing to a troubled relationship? How did the people we admire know just what to say or what to do? The common denominator that I see in all the stories that I've shared with you is that in each case, the person presented with a dilemma looked outside himself or looked outside herself to a spiritual resource. Whether it was consulting a religious leader or seeking the support of the Christian community, or praying over a long period of time, or turning to a book filled with soulful insights. Each person or each group of people sought out something bigger, something higher than his or her own understandings and abilities. When faced with a quandary or a problem or a burning question, looking beyond ourselves for divine guidance is exactly what the Bible teaches that we should do. Listen to the book of Proverbs extol the benefits of consulting with holy wisdom. I'm going to read to you selected verses from Proverbs chapter 8. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates, in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. Take my instruction instead of silver. Take my knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with wisdom. I have good advice and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me, kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me, rulers rule and nobles, all who govern rightly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. God created me at the beginning of God's work, the first of God's acts long ago. When God established the heavens, I was there. When God drew a circle on the face of the deep and made firm the skies above, I was there. When God marked out the foundation of the world, I was at God's side. I was God's daily delight, rejoicing before God always, rejoicing in God's inhabited world and delighting in the human race. Now, my children, listen to me. Happy are those who keep my ways. Happy is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors." Divine wisdom is available to us and is eager to guide us on right pathways. Divine wisdom can help us if we seek, if we listen, if we ask. God takes delight in wisdom, and wisdom takes delight in us. We do not have to flounder along on our own. We can ask for direction. It is God's joy to help us find the words we need. God's joy to help us choose the most constructive action. With practice, it can become our joy to consult God's wisdom by praying, by studying God's word, by remaining in dialogue with God's people, by seeking suggestions from some among our Christian community who might be in a position to give us good advice. It is easy to find wrong pathways. The world is clamoring with false promises, trying to convince us, for example, that drinking while driving is fun, that violence is gratifying, that the only thing that matters is getting what we have determined we want, never mind the cost to anyone else. Meanwhile, God's wisdom stands on the heights, stands beside the way, stands at the crossroads of our lives, trying to get our attention, hoping that next time we don't know what to say or what to do, we will think to ask for divine guidance. Maybe now is the right time for us to start. Our prayer for wisdom, so that we can keep our feet on right pathways: lead me, Lord. Lead me in your righteousness. Dear God, as we sing those words, some of us have in our minds and in our hearts very specific situations for which we need your help and your guidance. Circumstances in which your wisdom, properly understood and implemented, could make all the difference. Others of us, Lord, are praying in more general terms, that as we go through life, we would make your wisdom our constant companion, and you would guide us in the way we need to go. We thank you, Lord, that there's nothing too big or too small to warrant your attention. And we know, Lord, that your guidance can only help us if we act on it. And so we pray for the strength of will to do what you tell us is right. We seek the treasure of your wisdom, O God. We want to bring you delight by acting and speaking according to your word. Whether it's in relation to our in-laws, our neighbors, our co-workers, our leaders, our environment, our community, our teachers, or our children, Lord, help us to find our way into healthier, more constructive relationships. As Jesus taught us, so we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.